Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me? Ooh, I think you can. I'm a little sick of this cold. How about you? But I hear warmer weather is on the way, so praise God for that. Well, it's so good to be with you today to share the Word of God with you again this morning. Last week, we had our Testimony Sunday, and if you missed hearing the testimonies, they were so encouraging and inspiring. I've had such great feedback on those, but if somehow you missed them, you can go on to our YouTube channel, and all the testimonies are there. In fact, there's a couple bonus testimonies as well that we never had time to share with you last Sunday, but they are there on our YouTube channel. But today is a special Sunday for us because today is the start of our new church-wide campaign that Dave was talking about in the announcements. And this year, the theme for our campaign is Awaken, a call to prayer. For the last few years, we've done a campaign in January to sort of set the theme for the year, and it's been so good. We teach on Sunday mornings. Every life group joins in to watch the same videos, have the same discussions. We have the supplemental journals to allow people to dive a little deeper into the theme. This year is going to be a little bit different. It'll be a lot the same, but the difference is that in the last couple of years, we've been using Rick Warren and some of his materials and some of the campaigns that he's done in his own church, and we've used those here. But this year, we're not using Rick Warren as much as we've enjoyed him over the past couple of years. This year, everything that we're doing is Harvest City made, homegrown. All our videos with the life groups are teachers from our own congregation. The sermons on Sunday are all our own ideas. This is all homegrown. So it might not be quite as polished, but there is something special about everything being in-house and homegrown. And so I really believe that God is going to encourage you and inspire you over these coming weeks. There are a few of those books left, and that's the one thing. I didn't write the book for us and write the study guide, but we do have a book there and a study guide. I think there's about 25 of them left. If you want to do a little bit of a deeper dive, you can get those at the window there after church. But today I get to launch the campaign, and I want to spend my time this morning by talking with you mainly about this idea of awaken. The emphasis of the campaign is prayer, but it's more than a call to prayer. It's also a call to awaken. It's a wake-up call. In the scripture, we often see this idea of being awake and prayer tied together. They're like two sides of the same coin. The theme of this campaign is based on a passage of scripture found in both the Gospel of Matthew and in Mark. I'm going to read it to you this morning from Mark in chapter 14, verse 32. But actually, I want to start a couple verses earlier to sort of set the context for us. Jesus, in this passage, is having the Last Supper with his disciples. He's about to be betrayed and ultimately go to the cross. And at this supper, as he's sitting down with his disciples, he predicts his betrayal, but he also predicts that Peter, one of his closest disciples and friends, is going to betray him that night, is going to disown him, rather. And in verse 30, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice," he's talking to Peter, "you yourself will disown me three times." But Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same thing. It's not going to happen. So Peter emphatically insisted Jesus. Jesus says, "Tonight, this very night, you're going to disown me three times." Peter says, "No way. It will never happen." Now let me ask you this question. Have you ever found yourself in a place where you never thought you would be because maybe of a poor choice you've made or giving into a temptation or fear brought you down? Well, this was the story of Peter. He said, "It's never going to happen." Well, after supper, Jesus heads out with his disciples, and in verse 32, it says, they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter and James and John along with him. These were sort of the closest of the 12. He had three that were even closer to him. And so he takes the three a little bit further along. And it says that he began to be deeply distressed. He was troubled. He said, "My soul is overwhelmed." He's sharing this with the three guys that are closest to him. He knows what's about to happen. And so he says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, Jesus fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. So take this cup away from me." Jesus knows that his Father can do the impossible. And so he's like, "I know this is what's supposed to happen, but you can do the impossible. So if there's any way, take it from me." I was thinking to myself, there's been many times in my own prayer life where I thought, "God, you could do this in a moment. Why don't you do it? You can do the impossible." Isn't it interesting that Jesus had the same thing, discussion with his Father? There's got to be another way. You're the God of the impossible, my Father. But yet he comes to this place of surrender and says, "But not my will, but what you will." Then he returns to his disciples. I mean, he's just told them about the anguish that he's in. He's asked them to watch, to keep watch. He comes back and he finds them sleeping. "Simon," he says to Peter. It's interesting that he addresses Peter of the three. "Are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour?" But notice these words, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And it's here that we see these two concepts of being awake and prayer together. As we read about this interaction between Peter and Jesus, it's clear that Jesus is speaking about more than the need for Peter to keep his eyes open and to watch out for external trouble. Jesus is addressing a deeper danger that was internal inside of Peter. Peter had just said about an hour or so earlier, "I will never disown you. I would never deny you, Jesus. Not going to happen." But he was about to face pressure that Jesus knew he couldn't see. He was about to face pressure that Jesus knew he was not prepared for. That he was not strong enough to handle. He needed to wake up to the reality that he was in, to the reality that he was about to face. He needed to pray in order to have the strength to endure, to overcome, because his spirit was willing, but his flesh was weak. Peter was about to face a spiritual battle that he was completely blind to. He was sleeping at the wheel. Jesus was giving Peter in this moment a wake-up call. Jesus was talking about what was about to happen to Peter, not "watch out in case someone comes to get me." He said, "There is a temptation, Peter, that is right around the corner. There is something you are about to face." Peter didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. And so he said, "You need to watch and pray." But Peter didn't wake up. He didn't respond to the wake-up call. Once more, it says in verse 39, Jesus went away, prayed the same thing. He's talking to his Father. When he comes back again, he finds them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They didn't know what to say to him. I mean, Jesus comes back and catches you again. Sorry. Returning the third time. He says to them, notice there's some exasperation in Jesus. "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough! The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. You guys have no idea what's going on. Enough! Wake up! Rise up! Let's go! Here comes my betrayer. They weren't ready. Jesus, on the most difficult night of his life, was fully awake. He's in prayer. And therefore, Jesus was prepared for what was coming and ultimately resisted the enemy, resisted his flesh, and fulfilled his destiny. Aren't you glad that God, that our Jesus stayed awake? Peter went into the same situation, asleep in more ways than one, and ended up doing what he never thought he would do. Peter reminds me of my good friend, I'll call him Ron Swan because that's his name. He reminds me of Ron Swan, who showed up for our early morning elders prayer on Tuesday at 7:30 a.m. Now you might think, wow, that's impressive. Ron Swan got out of bed to pray at 7:30 a.m. Well, here's the problem. It started at 7. The rest of us, more spiritual elders, were all there at 7 a.m. You see, when Ron's alarm rang this Tuesday, he didn't respond properly. Instead of getting out of bed, he rolled over because his eyes were still heavy. His spirit was willing, but his flesh was weak. And consequently, the alarm or the wake-up call had no effect on Mr. Ron Swan. And he slept 30 additional minutes. Yes, I threw my good friend under the bus, so I guess I too am sort of like Peter this morning. But church, the truth is that many of us are asleep, and we need a wake-up call, and we need to get out of bed. A little over 2 years ago, I've shared this with you before, but I went on a mission trip with Anatoly to India. And I knew being in India, everybody's going to dress up nice there. They're not like us North Americans who wear their jeans to church and those sorts of things. They look pretty good when they go to church. And so I knew I was going to need to look good. And so I threw in my two favorite pairs of dress pants. I figured two pairs would get me through 4 or 5 days of meetings. Now, before going on the trip over the last number of years, I knew that my weight was going up, but I was avoiding my scale as much as possible. I was trying to ignore what was happening. I was convincing myself it wasn't that bad. I was telling myself one day I'm gonna have to do something about this. But it was one morning in India in my hotel room when I pulled on these very pants. You're thinking, how many years have you owned these pants, Joel? I own my pants so many times they go in and out of style 2 or 3 times. And these were my favorite dress pants, and I pulled them on that morning, and I couldn't do them up. I literally could not get the button up on my favorite pair of dress pants. That morning was a wake-up call to the reality that I was in. I wore the same pair of dress pants. Thank God I threw in sort of my fat dress pants as well. And I wore the same pair. I'm sure those folks in India were like, he only has one pair of pants to wear for 5 days? Yes, that's all I had because I couldn't get into my favorite pair. And so I came home determined to make a change. Here I am 2 years later, 23 pounds lighter. If it sounds like I'm bragging, it's because I am. You say 23 pounds lighter, you couldn't go for 25. Well, I was 25 pounds lighter, but it was just Christmas. All right, so I gained 2 of those back here in the last couple of days. But I've been able to keep it off by one thing, stepping on the scale every single morning. I've hardly missed stepping on the scale for 2 years. It helps me to live in reality. It keeps me awake. That morning in India was a wake-up call that I needed. But I still needed to respond to it. I had to come home and do something about it. Church, I feel strongly in my spirit this morning that God is wanting to give us a wake-up call today. Some of us are asleep at the wheel, and we're heading for a ditch. Some of us have gotten fat and lazy and lost our spiritual muscle. And we don't have the strength anymore to resist the enemy's schemes and devices. Some of us are missing out on the destiny of God on our lives because we aren't spiritually prepared or awake enough to even see the opportunities that God has placed right in front of us. Now, it might be somewhat comforting to know that staying alert and living with our eyes open has been a problem for man right since Genesis. All through Scripture, we see the Lord calling his people to wake up. And we see example after example of both people answering the wake-up call and of people ignoring the call. I think we would all know that our default settings tend to favor excuses and laziness and sleep. We tend to be drawn to the darkness. And so we need to be regularly challenged to wake up, to awaken. We see the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians challenging the Ephesian church with this very thing. In Ephesians 5, verse 8, Paul says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes light. That is why it is said, 'Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." What's Paul doing here? He's challenging the Ephesian church to live in the light and to live as children of the light. In order to do this, they needed to open their eyes. They needed to wake up. They needed to rise up. And Paul is saying, if you will wake up, if you will rise up, then the light of Christ will shine on you. If they would be careful, if they would be alert, if they would be wise, then they would make the most of every opportunity, and they would come to an understanding of what the Lord's will was. You see, those who aren't living in the light and those who are asleep miss the opportunities that God has for them because they aren't prepared, because they're not even in the game. They end up being foolish and overcome by the evil around them. To me, there are three things that happen when we are sleeping at the wheel. Number one, we become open to attack. We become easy prey for the enemy of our soul. I've shared with you quite openly about some of the personal struggles that I've gone through in my own life in the last 6 months or a year. In all honesty, I had a bit of a spiritual wake-up call in my own personal life this summer. I was hanging by a thread emotionally. I was weary. I was discouraged. I was tired. My eyes were heavy. Now, I physically needed some rest, but what I needed more was to spiritually awaken. I've discovered that when I'm awake spiritually, I find strength that no amount of physical sleep and physical holidays can produce. And as I drove back home from holidays in the summer, I faced the fact, as I sort of analyzed my life in the quietness of my car on the drive home from BC, that I was getting my butt kicked. I had been blinded to my spiritual malnourishment because I was still functioning. In fact, in some ways, fairly well. But as I was shutting down emotionally, I began to fully realize I was starving and thirsty. I needed the bread of life, I needed the living water. Without them, I was weak and sickly. I was dull. My spiritual senses were shutting down. That drive home in the car, the Lord gave me a wake-up call. You need to smarten up. You need to wake up. You need to arise. For the last number of months, I've been endeavoring to respond. I'll be honest with you, there's some days when I still hit the snooze. But I'm trying to arise. Church, if you find yourself angry, bitter, offended, irritable, discouraged, tired, lacking vision, hopeless, I can almost guarantee you that you have gotten sleepy spiritually. You're succumbing to the attacks of the enemy because you are too sleepy to even recognize it's him, to even recognize the danger that you are in. You have lost your ability to resist. And to you this morning, the Lord is saying, watch and pray. Wake up. The second thing that happens is we miss our destiny. We squander our inheritance. A few weeks ago, I talked with you about the prodigal son. To me, he is an example of someone who fell asleep. He lost sight of what was most important. He got tangled up in that which didn't matter, that which could destroy him. In his blindness and foolishness, he lost everything. But then as he was jealous of the pig's food, his eyes were opened. And in a sense, he woke up. He saw where he was. He saw what he had lost. And now, because he responded when his eyes were open, the mercy of God restored him. But what about you? Are you squandering the inheritance that God has for you? Can you even see it? Or have your eyes wandered to the pleasures of this world? Have you gotten so focused on that which doesn't matter that you've lost sight of that which does? I've been thinking this week of what Paul said at the beginning of his letter to the Ephesians as well. I've been realizing that in many ways, this whole letter to the Ephesians was Paul giving the Ephesian church a wake-up call. It was a call to arise. It was a call to grab a hold of God's destiny for their lives. And in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul writes, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you would know him better. And I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened or opened." In other words, I pray that you would get a wake-up call in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Paul was praying that these Ephesians would get a wake-up call, that they would realize the hope that they had, the inheritance they had, the power that they had because of Christ, because Christ was the head of the church, because they were the body, because they were connected to the head, the fullness of Christ was in them. Wake up to the power that's available to you. Are you living in that church? Are you living in what Paul's talking about here? Or do you need to have your eyes enlightened? Do you need a prodigal son moment where you realize there is so much more in your father's house than what you're living in right now? Some of us are wasting our lives. Some of us are squandering our inheritance because we're sleeping. And to you and to me, the Lord would say, watch and pray. Wake up. The third thing that happens when we're sleeping is that we miss the joy of living a purpose-led life, a life of significance. Now, of course, this point directly relates to the last one. But when our eyes are open to our inheritance, when our eyes are open to our calling, to the power of God that's available to us, we experience profound joy in living for that which is eternal. Paul expands on this in Ephesians chapter 2. He's just continuing this thought from Ephesians 1. And he says in verse 10, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Before you were even born, this concept just blows my mind. I pray God would enlighten us to this. Before we were even born, God prepared good works for you and me to do. God created us for a purpose. He's called us. In fact, it says we are his handiwork. In other words, God designed us perfectly to do what he's called us to do. Don't let the devil tell you otherwise. You are fully equipped and created and anointed for the task that God called you to before you were even born. He planned your destiny. He gifted you. He called you. He made you in a way to accomplish it. When you're awakened to it, when you're stepping into it, there is no greater joy or meaning that you can live your life with. So are you living with purpose today? Are you walking in your calling? Are you seizing the opportunities? If not, the Lord would say to you and me, watch and pray. Wake up. Church, I am so gripped this morning with the burden that so many of us, and I'm including myself in this, are half asleep. So much of the body of Christ, it seems to me, are sleepwalking. You know, my wife, Angela, has a gift. She can sleep anywhere, at any time, in any position. It's a gift. I would say to you that when we were first married, the gift was stronger. Somehow, when our kids were born, she had to readjust her wiring to be able to wake up in the middle of the night to answer the call. Interestingly, I went the other direction. I never heard anything. But I learned something, and my parents will tell you this. After I got married, I discovered I could have full conversations with Angela and then realized she was still completely asleep. She had no idea that we were talking, but she was talking. We carried on a full conversation, but she never woke up. Remember that? Well, you could vacuum around this girl. You could have a conversation with her. She'd even move to another room and not wake up. An incredible gift. You know, she had the appearance of being awake and being present, but she wasn't fully there. Sometimes the church is like that. There's some activity happening, but it's actually dead, and it's asleep. On Friday morning, as I was preparing this message, I was into the office here at 5:30 in the morning to prepare. Why so early? Well, it was a busy week. And I got this text at 6:20 in the morning from my oldest daughter, Eden. Now, some of you maybe know from Facebook or whatever, if you follow us along, that Eden had major knee surgery this Monday. She had a complete ACL reconstruction in her knee and some meniscus repair. So major knee surgery. And so she's been home all week in bed. And Angela has stayed home to look after her this week. It's been, the first few days after pretty rough. Eden was battling a lot of nausea and just even fainting and a lot of pain. And so to help out, Angela decided to sleep in the basement on the couch. Remember, she can sleep anywhere. In fact, she's been telling me how great she's been sleeping on the couch down there. And so she's been sleeping outside of Eden's bedroom door so that she can help Eden get to the washroom in the middle of the night and also to help get her meds. Well, on this Friday morning, as I was here and Eden's texting me at 6:20 in the morning, what had happened was Eden had woke up in real pain and she needed her meds and she's saying, "Mom is not coming. I'm calling for her." Now, Mom is sleeping outside the door. And she's like, "Are you home?" I said, "Can you come help me?" I said, "Actually, Eden, I'm at work already," but she was texting me because she was desperate. I said, "You've got to yell loud. You've got to raise the dead. This is your mother we're talking about here. Yell loud." You know, sometimes God has to yell to get our attention because we are so asleep. You know, sometimes with Angela, I have literally had to shake her to wake her. Church, I don't know all what God is up to, but what I see a lot going on in the world today is a shaking. And this thought goes through my mind. Is God trying to get our attention? Maybe he's been nice to us for the last number of years saying, "Wakey, wakey, rise and shine." And we ain't waking. The alarm's going off and we're hitting snooze and rolling over. Some of us aren't even hearing the alarm. We're sleeping right through it. And he's been yelling. And I'm wondering if right now he isn't shaking and saying, "Wake up!" Is it possible he's trying to get our attention? When I look at the state of the church today, and I'm talking general, but I probably could talk right here and now in our own home, I feel there's a big lack of focus on what really matters. It led to our series before Christmas. I feel there is some real apathy. There is a real battle with discouragement and vision loss. I'm preaching to myself, church. But I'm not discouraged by this as I preach to you this morning, because I see something else happening, actually. I also see an awakening begin to happen. I think some people are beginning to come to their senses. I think that there's a realization hitting people. I want to live for a purpose. I don't like where I'm at. I think there's an awakening happening. I'm in a pig pen, and how did I get here? I said I would never be here, and yet here I am. And there is this realization hitting, I know there's more in my Father's house than what I'm living in right now. And there is a desire for more that is rising. If that's happening to you, then I believe you're starting to hear the voice of God. You're starting to hear the wake-up call. You're starting to hear him say to you, "Arise, watch, and pray. Seek my face." In the 3 minutes I have to conclude, how do we awaken? Number one, when God calls, respond. Don't hit the snooze. Church, our God doesn't sleep or slumber, the scripture says. He's always on the move, and so he's always calling us to join him in what he's doing. He's always calling us to something greater. There are times when that call is louder or when we become more aware of it, perhaps. But when we hear it, we need to respond immediately. If you keep hitting the snooze, you could possibly miss your appointment altogether. This is a wake-up call moment. I really believe it. I really believe this series that we are doing is from the heart of God. It's a wake-up call moment for us as a church. Don't hit the snooze when God is calling. Number two, seek his face. Jeremiah 29:11, if you want to wake and seek his face. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. When did God say these words? He said it to the Israelites who were captive. He was giving them a wake-up call. It ain't over. I still have a plan. I still have a call. I still have a purpose. Wake up. But it required a response. Verse 12, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. He was awaking them to the purpose that he had for them, but it required a response. They needed to roll over and get up and seek his face. And if they sought his face, he was going to hear them and respond. And, you know, I've never been able to figure out what came first, the chicken or the egg. Have you? It's the same with an awakening. Does the awakening produce the desire to pray, or does prayer bring the awakening? I think the answer to that question is yes. It's both. As I said in the beginning, watch and pray are two sides of the same coin. He stirs and we respond. We seek and he reveals. Church, I believe God is calling us. Will you respond and seek his face? If you will, even more revelation and enlightenment will come. In Acts 1, Jesus was opening the eyes of his disciples. You are going to be filled with power. You are going to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation, tribe, and tongue. He was awakening them to the purposes that he had called them to. What was their response? They sought his face. They got on their knees. What had happened in response to them seeking his face? There was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and power. Their eyes were illuminated even further. They saw it even more. Number three, final point. If we want to be awake, we need to ride with someone awake in the passenger seat. When I'm driving on a long trip and I'm tired, the best thing for me is to have someone in the passenger seat who's not sleeping. Would you agree with that? I need someone to talk to me. I need someone to keep me awake. I have found the same to be true in my life. If I want to live my life awake, then I need some people riding shotgun who are alive with purpose and who are also alert. God created us to be in community. He made it so we couldn't function well without it. I have often found that when people step out of relationship, they get in trouble right away. Listen to me, those of you who are watching online, I'm about to say something a little bold this morning. Some of you need to get back to church. Some of you need to get back into a place of community. Some of you are getting your butts kicked because you've gotten out of relationship. You're riding with people who are asleep, and you need to get somebody who is awake and alert in the passenger seat beside you, because you're in danger of falling asleep and hitting the ditch as well. Now, I understand we are in the middle of a pandemic and there's reasons, but whatever it is, you need to be in relationship. Church, we need to be in relationship with one another. It's why we're even emphasizing life groups. It's why we're in this time, we're calling the church to come together. What are we saying? Let's wake up, church. Let's get some people in the passenger seat beside us who are going somewhere, who are looking ahead, who are seeing what's coming, who are alive with purpose. So that we can be alive. It's going to take some effort. When God calls you to wake up,
You got to roll over. You got to climb out of bed. But if we will do it, he will awaken us even more to his plans for our lives. We will experience the power of the Holy Spirit, and we will experience the joy of living a purpose-led life. I don't know about you, church, but I'm tired of being tired. I'm tired of sleeping. I'm tired of just grinding. I'm tired of just going through the motions. I want to be a part of a church that's alive with purpose. I want to be alive with purpose. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit again. I want my eyes enlightened to know the hope that I've been called to, the power that's available to me, the inheritance that God has called us to. It's time to shake off discouragement. It's time to shake off weariness. It's time to shake off sleepiness. It's time to arise and to pray. It's time to watch and to pray. As Jesus said to his disciples, arise, let's go.
Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? Would you bow your heads with me this morning? I just want to pray for you and for me. I want to ask you this morning, are you sleeping? I pray to God, this has been my prayer, God, use this message this morning as a wake-up call. Just as we have our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. If you know you've been half asleep, if you hear the alarm going off this morning, and you know the Lord is shaking you to arise, I just want you to just lift your hands before the Lord as a response and say, here I come, Lord. I'm getting out of bed. I hear the call to watch and to pray, and I'm going to stir myself to seek your face. Starts with a decision. As we begin this series, let's make a decision here right now. I got my eyes closed. I'm not looking around. I also got my hands in the air because I need a wake-up call. And I want to respond. Jesus, here we are. We confess we've been sleepy. We confess that our eyes have gotten heavy. But Lord, we are also hearing your call today. And we're responding to the best of our ability. And Lord, we're also praying the prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians. We're praying it for ourselves today. Would you enlighten us? Would you open our eyes again? That we would know you better. That we would see what you're up to. That we would see our inheritance. That we would see the hope that you have for us. That we would see the power that's available to us. That we would understand that you've created us for a purpose. That you've created us for good works. You've called us to be a people of destiny and purpose. Lord, we come to you and we just confess we're sick and tired, and we're tired of being sick and tired. And so, God, would you awaken us? Would you fill us with your Holy Spirit? Would you stir us? And Lord, we even invite you, turn up the alarm. Turn up the volume on the alarm. God, we're willing. Shake us if we need to be shaken. Smack us if we need to be smacked. Kick us if we need to kick. Just don't let us stay here sleeping. Provoke us, Holy Spirit. We're inviting the provoking of the Holy Spirit. We're asking you to soften our hearts where they've been hardened. We're asking you to melt the ice that's around them where they're cold. Holy Spirit, awaken us. Bring us from the dead. Lord, let resurrection life come into us.
And Lord, I pray that something supernatural would happen as we take these 6 weeks to push into you and to engage and to seek your face. I pray that you would respond as you said in Jeremiah, and you would, as we come to you, that you would come to us. As we draw near to you, that you would draw near to us. And Lord, at the end of this 6 weeks, we would find ourselves coming alive like we haven't been in years. That vision would fill your people and hope would fill your people, and the prophetic would flow and the healing would flow and the breakthrough would flow, because we are tapping into who you've created us to be. Help us, Lord Jesus, we pray in your mighty name. Amen. All right, church. Go, watch, and pray.